Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, my name is Kyle, and welcome to the conversation. Today we're going to talk about how they have satellites that have recently spotted some possible debris near Australia, which is about 12 hours difference. So it's nighttime there, so they'll have to wait till morning to see what it is. Also, is the president really right in worrying about his NCAA Final Four picks with all that's going on in the U.S. and the world? And also, we're going to talk about some Premier League action and some more political stuff. The conversation begins right now. Hello, and thanks for listening. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whoever not believe in him will not perish, but will have eternal life." What do you think? That as you're kind of going through today, think about that today, and I actually got to look into. I've been reading a book by Joel Osteen, and it's a daily book, and I'm like 2 or 3 days behind. So I regret to inform my fans that actually tomorrow I'm going to have to go back to work. Yeah, my $400 million mega bottle, mega millions ticket. I got one number right, so I'm happy. I didn't win the $400 million, but hey, one number is better than none, right? Now I'll know by the end of today if I'm going to have to seriously go back to work if I have any teams lose on my bracket, because I did throw out one for that billion-dollar bracket. Well, what the heck, you know, if I have a perfect bracket, you know, that's a $1 billion. But you would think they would have more than one perfect bracket. I would think that a perfect bracket would not be impossible. Like, people have done it in the past. So, who knows? We'll just have to wait and see. Thanks for tuning into my show and joining me. It's just one of those things that I want to get into really quick about the president and he is under big fire right now because he was doing his NCAA picks. Should he be doing the NCAA picks? And, you know, with all the stuff going on in Russia and, you know, the economy and everything, you know, and I guess he's supposed to be in the next few minutes talking about that. Talking about things going on and, you know, like addressing all these people that say it's a disgrace he's picking Final Four picks. Now, I don't know if George Bush did or if Bill Clinton did. Maybe they did and I don't remember. I'll have to look that up and see if they actually have video of, like, George Bush doing NCAA picks or not. I don't remember. But I don't think they did, but they might have. I mean, I just think we got more important things to worry about than the NCAA tournament right now, Mr. President. I could be wrong. I mean, granted, you know, the gas price has been higher in Indiana under you than any time under George Bush, but no one's talking about the gas price, of course. Like this liberal said on MSNBC one night, he goes, if you take someone like Michelle Bachmann, she would be praised. Like Hillary Clinton, you take a Sarah Palin, which he said, he goes, if Sarah Palin was a liberal, they'd be treating her just like Hillary Clinton, kissing her butt. Lord help me. But one of the big things I want to get into is they've actually found some possible debris through a satellite near Australia. It's 24-hour difference in Australia. So in Australia, It's nighttime there, so they have to wait till the morning to see if what's possibly found on the satellite could be the possible debris of the Malaysian plane, you know. My heart and soul goes out to the families of the people that had loved ones on that plane who know nothing. I mean, I would have thought they would have had better tech. I'm surprised a plane like that can just disappear. I mean, I kind of agree. If this is not the plane, if this, I wouldn't be surprised if this is the debris and the plane did crash. But when you talk about how they said that the way stuff was turned off on the plane, it would indicate maybe they did hijack it, but because of stuff going haywire, you know, they crashed in the process. So maybe they did try to hijack it, and when they did, stuff happened in it. They hijacked went south when it crashed or whatever. Who knows? Just so many theories, and I mean, I kind of feel like we're back to the Geraldo Rivera when he's like, the 2 hour special, what's in Al Capone's vault? Yeah. People love mysteries. I mean, I loved Unsolved Mysteries. They've actually taken a lot of them, I guess, because of copyright off of YouTube. And I guess there was a couple that the mysteries were solved recently from the old episodes because they were on YouTube. And, you know, I loved Unsolved Mysteries. I loved those, like, Bigfoot specials. I mean, granted, Bigfoot, if he was real, they would have seen him. He'd be there. They would have had, they'd have some evidence by now, you know. The only one I saw that was most credible was they had one where this guy goes, well, here's video footage of this creature walking in front of this car with a camera. And they said, look at how many steps it took to go from one side of the road to the other. And when they were done, they said, okay, nothing we did could replicate this creature, whatever it is. If you say it's a hoax, it would have to be CGI, because no human being we got in a costume can go across this road in a sea of steps is what's in this video. That's about the only thing I've seen. You know, it's going to take DNA or hair to prove. But I just love those things, because, I mean, as a human being, we're always fascinated by, Are we alone? I don't believe we're alone. I believe there is life outside of the planet. I know there is. But, you know, I mean, we're always fascinated by, like, do ghosts exist? And yada, yada. And so, it's just one of those things that I think's really keeping this people are interested in this plane because they like mysteries. They want to, you know, follow something where they don't know, they don't have all the answers, and it just makes you think about, okay, well, I would think a plane like that would be very hard to lose. You know, I thought there'd be so much stuff on there that I guess if you know how to disable it all, you could disable it all, and then the plane would be virtually invisible. But then I would think by that time you would have, okay, this is the last known coordinates of the plane. Let's get a satellite in that area. Bang. And follow it from there. I guess I'm wrong. I don't know. But I want to get to some amazing news. I can't believe Manchester United won yesterday. Down a 2-goal aggregate. But they pulled it off. They scored 3 goals by Robert Van Persie. And from there, the rest is history. And I love this because I posted this thing on my Facebook. And it has a Chelsea player down. And it goes, Sonomac, as if they're hurt. And then it has Antonio Valencia with one eye basically closed shut from almost the beginning of the game when he hit heads with someone else. And it said, some act as if they're not. And he was my most valuable player. That guy, him and De Gaulle, when he did those 2 saves in 1 second being there, that was incredible. But when you're playing like you just got beat up by Mike Tyson, and one eye is so swollen you can barely even see, and he stayed out there. I mean, the question I have with that team is, they played so well yesterday. Why aren't they doing that all? Why are they seemingly really good or a heck of a lot better in the Champions League than they're in the Premier League. And what do they have in the Premier League? The chance to maybe get into the top tier if they play good enough the rest of the season, if they're lucky. And now I'm starting to look at the team from like a lot of the experts and the announcers, and they're basically, you know, you're coming in and you're taking a David Morsi and you're coming in and you're replacing one of the greatest coach in my opinion in all history, Sox person. I don't think you'll have someone like him for a long time. You know, it's not like you're having a coach that's been there for like 4 years or 5 years and, you know, okay, yeah, where are we going to place this guy that's been here for 4 years with Arsene Wenger? You know, well, that's okay. That's not that big of a deal because, you know, it's a coach that's been there since like 85 and he's finally stepped down and you're trying to step into the shadows of Sox Ferguson. It's not going to be easy. And I didn't expect Manchester United to be this bad, but if they stay this way for like 2 years, if this time next year they're still like this, then I'll sit there and say, okay, why are they keeping, you know, why are they keeping him? Why are they keeping David Moisey? Why are they keeping David Moisey? I don't get it. I don't get it, you know. But this is, you got to give him a year. You got to give him a chance. So, I mean, you look at someone like Arsene Wenger. He's been there, you know. If he was to leave, he hasn't, you know, I don't think he's, you're going to be replacing him in outsourcing. So, you know, they've had up and down years. So it's not, you're not going to go from a team that's like one of the best, how they lose is to, wow, well, coming to Old Trafford, guess what? It's not that scary anymore. You know, it's not like the place that you can never win. So it's just one of those things that, for me, I'm just kind of talking to him right now because I'm just like in shock. I can't believe we won. I really can't. I mean, I was in tears of joy. It was just an incredible, incredible win. And, I mean, it's just, I guess it's nice to actually have a win, but it's kind of frustrating when, like, how can you beat a team that's so good and then lose to a team that's, you know, how would you beat an Arsenal but lose to a you know, like, Wolverhampton Wanderers? I don't know. It's just been an up and down season. I mean, I think it's like this NCAA tournament. I think it's going to be the same way. There's so many good teams out there, you can't really pick any. There are a ton of, you know, number 10 seed and down teams that could easily win. And I was talking to this, and I got some grief from this, because I was talking about this. I'm like, they need to do a lottery. Put all 64 teams in the hat, shake it up, and you pull out a representative from your team. You know, they pull out, bing, 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 bing. And you play who you pull. So if Kansas takes on Florida in the first round, oh, well. You know, if you're against that, that's not fair. What's not fair about it? If you're going to tell me that you believe that a number 16 seed can be the number 1 seed, they never have, but if you believe that can happen, then okay. But if you believe a number one seed is probably never going to lose to a 16th seed team, how is that fair? Because the number one seed is always going to take that number 16 seed, so the number 16 seed is never going to have the chance to advance. Because they're always going to have to play one of the most dominant teams out there. So it'd be neat to mix it up. But then I've had people tell me, yeah, well, then you could sit there and by the time that you could have, like, number 16 seeds in the finals. I'm like, well, that's how the cookie crumbles. Well, that's what, you know. Number one seed. Really? Number one seed? Always gets to the end. For the most part, number one seed never gets to the end. You know, but I mean, I think it's so hard because all these teams that aren't that good have to start out playing these teams that are so great. So, I don't think there is a right answer. I mean, it's sort of like when you look at the NCAA football and they do all these bowls and, you know, the Lysol toilet bowl and the Clorox bleach bowl and, you know, whatever else, you know, the Tidy Bowl, you know. And people complain about that, you know. Well, how do you decide who goes to what bowl and who does what and who does this? And I don't think there is a right answer, especially with the NCAA tournament. I really don't think there is a right answer. I think, you know, if you're to put them all in a hat and draw them out, and the number one seed in the old tournament taking on the number two seed, well, so what? Let them have fun. Because if you had to meet before you got to the final game, what's the difference? And so many games in the tournament. Georgia Tech wins with 2/1,000th of a second with a half-court shot. Oh, you need to watch this game. If you have not seen this game, Georgia Tech State University Junior College has upset North Carolina with a half-sec, with a 5/1,000th of a second shot from half-court. You know, well, is it really a winner in that game? Because if you would have done the best out of three, the other team may win 2 out of 3. Yeah, they might. So, don't get me wrong, I love the tournament. If you don't think a number one seed is going to win in the tournament, if you don't, you know, of course number one seed is going to win in the tournament. They have. But if you don't think a number 16 seed can ever beat a number one seed, then maybe it's time we change it up some. But then you can sit there and let people say, well, then you look at it from the standpoint of if that's how it's going to be, then, okay, well, is the whole thing of the Hoosiers gone? Because we had a big controversy in Indiana where they went to class basketball instead of having every team play and having a state championship. So you have like a Class A championship, Class 2A, Class 3A, Class 1B, 2B, instead of just having, okay, I still think they should, you know, go back to the regular way. It's just, in my opinion, it gives you at least that opportunity for a number one seed type team, a really good team, to play maybe a team that's not so high ranked, you know, like Milan High. And you have the chance for that small school to make it and potentially play teams out of their league and potentially win. That's just all I'm saying, you know. If you were to put them in a hat, shake them up, you could get number one seeds to maybe lose in the first round, and then number 16 seed maybe go on in the second round. third round, whatever the case may be. You know, it's just one of those things. I think it's kind of cool. But enough about my NCAA stuff, because, you know, that's fun, but I just feel like there's more going on in this world right now that's more important in terms of, like, the president. I don't, like I said earlier, I don't know if Bill Clinton, you know, did his picks and, you know, or George Bush did his NCAA picks. But, you know, with the stuff going on in Russia, and them basically going to say, okay, we're going to get out of the nuclear talks. Yay! All these countries are getting out of the nuclear talks, and what are we doing? Oh, we're getting rid of our nuclear, so we need to shrink our military. Everyone else is going theirs, but we need to shrink our military. Lord help us. Like I said last week, and I'll keep saying it, you know, when all the Democrats were standing up during the State of the Union cheering the fact that Barack Obama said, hey, I don't need you Democrats, I don't need you Republicans, I don't need you congressmen and senators, I can pass whatever I want, I got an executive order. A good friend of mine at work, she was like, well, when I was going off, well, here we go again, he's just using his pen, he's going to change the unemployment, not unemployment, but he's going to change the overtime pay. Well, he needs to do that. He's got that executive power. I'm like, yeah, executive power is for, okay, you know, two planes hit the Twin Towers, we got to do something now. Not, okay, well, yeah, I think we need to change the minimum wage to $10 an hour. That's something that needs to happen so fast that I just need to do it myself. I don't need to see if Congress and Senate stands with me or if the American people stand with me. I understand executive power for, like, emergency situations. We have an earthquake. We got to do something. You know, okay. But when it's stuff, well, I think we need to shrink the military. I don't care what the American people think. I'm just going to take my pen and, you know, shrink the military down. Yeah, I don't care. It doesn't really need Congress or Senate approval. I mean, I understand him changing the health care all the time because it's a tax. He can do that. You can change a tax 24/7, 365, as much as you want. I'm just one of those smart people that stood up and said, hey, wait a minute, I'm against that. But like I said on the program many times before, I have friends, and so does my mom and my sister, that you could show them video footage of Barack Obama killing someone, and they'd go, whatever, Republican, that's a lie, whatever, that's not real. What's it going to take for the Democrats to say, hey, something's not right here? Put them in a concentration camp? There's a video on YouTube, and you need to look it up, where it's these black people that are in Chicago, and they said, look at this. There's no Tea Party person for miles. This is all liberal, democratic, black policies, union policies. You can't blame Tea Partiers. You can't blame, well, of course, I've had friends that, when you look at Detroit, for example, oh, it's the corporations. Really? So if Chrysler was there, it's their problem. It's Ford's problem. It's GM's problem. It's GE's. Any company that's ever been there, you know. So it's Bubba Blue's bubble factory where they make bubbles for kids. It's a fictitious company. But if they were there, Detroit's in the toilet because of them. It can't be because of politicians. Because it would be a Republican's fault if it was all Republican-run. But since it's all liberal, union, progressive, black Democrat policies, oh, I'm a racist. Why can't wait till November 8, 2016, when all of a sudden I become a sexist? Because Hillary Clinton is president. And now I'm going to be a sexist. I mean, it's going to happen, I guarantee it, because if you look right now, no one's bitching about the gas price. Why? Because George Bush isn't in the White House anymore. It's Barack Obama. But every single liberal was bitching about the gas price at the same price, and sometimes, in many cases, it was higher under Barack Obama, and has been. It's not like I'm saying, okay, why aren't people bitching at the gas price when it's lower? It's been higher under Barack Obama at times. Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid were in a, they did a news conference kind of thing in front of a gas station that was like 312. Where, I mean, it was $1.75 when George Bush took office. We need to get him out of the office and his oil tycoon buddies and get the gas price down. Did George Bush do things that were wrong? Of course he did. If George Bush did things that were wrong, what makes it right for Barack Obama? You know, if you complain that Barack Obama has played more rounds of golf than any other president, what makes it right for him to do that just because George Bush supposedly went to his ranch a lot? Two wrongs don't make a right, you know. At some point, a liberal is going to say, enough's enough. If it's wrong for a Republican to do it, it's wrong for a Democrat to do it. And I have a lot of liberal friends that when you talk to them and you say something, they'll agree with you on something that's basic, like, well, we need to cut spending 100%, you know. But then when you get into certain aspects, well, Detroit has to be business. Because just because it's a unionized place, it's all black, it's all Democrat, it can't be all their fault, you know. I was joking with one of my friends, I said, the Republicans, we need to do this. Us conservatives, we need to start agreeing with everything Obama says. Yep. You want to, you know, you need to have someone, I mean, granted, John Boehner thinks they're progressives, anyways. Him and Lindsey Graham and, you know, a bunch of them, like John McCain, need to just be in the Democratic Party to begin with. But you need to sit there and say, we agree with whatever President Barack Obama wants to do. To me, he's a dictator, but, you know, what Obama wants to do, we support everything he wants to do so that when, if this country succeeds, he can take credit. If this country fails, he can take responsibility. That's how I feel. You know? Agree with everything he wants to do. That way, and say it. And say, okay, at this press conference, me as the House of, me as the head of the GOP, we're going to agree with everything Obama wants to do. That way it's like this. When this country succeeds, like Democrats think it's going to happen, he can take the credit for it. But when it fails and we get worse, it's going to be his fault, and hopefully he will take responsibility instead of laying Bush. Now, I'll joke to one of my friends at work, he's a big-time liberal. I'm like, well, they found the plane. She goes, really? I said, yep, they found the plane. All they had to do was go to George Bush's ranch. It's been right there the whole time. I mean, I'm surprised they haven't blamed him on it. I mean, they blame him for everything else, you know? She goes, stop it. Oh, I mean, we're really, really, really good friends. You know, I house sit for him stuff. And, you know, we're probably the closest to, she's like a sister to me. You know, a really close friend. You know, she could have had me as a kid. I'm that old. You know, she's that old compared to me. She's like 50-something. But I got about 60 seconds left. But we just politically disagree on almost every front, except for medical cannabis, because I support that, you know, responsible use of it. But other than that, you know, we disagree politically, but we can still talk because we still have many things in common. I mean, I have friends that are atheists, but I can still talk to them even though I believe in God. I don't know how you can't believe in God, but, you know, some people do. But anyway, and that's how we need to be in this world. We need that September 11th again, feeling of who cares who you are. We come together as one human race. So that's where I'm going to leave it. I want to thank you all for listening in, wherever you are, from around the nation and around the world. God bless you all. Thank you, and have a great day. Goodbye.